technology is a tool, you know, it is a tool just like any other tool. And, you know, if you can build whatever you need to build, you know, without fancy schmancy technology tools, make it happen. I mean, it's, you know, it's really that simple.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. I've got Dave Shearer as my guest in studio today. He is a husband, a father, a sacred sojourner. He is an entrepreneur, an IT leader, and teacher. He has been doing this for about 25 years as a technology consultant, IT director, IT security program manager, web developer, project manager. He's got tons of relevant experience for all of us that are trying to run our digital online gig. As an entrepreneur, he started three companies as a side hustle, and now he's expanding one of them to achieve a monetary goal of multiple passive income streams online. And who doesn't want that? He's just launched HealStress.com, a website dedicated to providing education, structure, and community to help people to just not manage their stress, but to heal it. He's deeply interested in this sacred journey in all of us and the changes that we must all make to grow. So welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, everybody. I'm glad to be here.
So did I miss anything in your introduction that you want to add?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that, you know, I think everyone in the world is multifaceted, and I think that that covers at least the pieces probably that everybody wants to hear at the moment.
There you go.
Yeah.
So when I think of IT, my eyes kind of glaze over because I don't know much about it. I'm a marketing guy. So do you want to share with us just a little bit about your background and give some context to the types of projects? Because IT seems like such a big, broad topic.
Yeah, it is. You know, sometimes in my past, you know, when I've told people that I do IT stuff, a lot of times it's sort of like this black box and lots of people's eyes glaze over. So don't feel bad about that. It's just one of those kinds of things where a lot of times people even in the profession are just, you know, running to catch up. I think that's sort of the, you know, that's sort of the secret that we don't always tell people, because lots of times there was one point in my career where, you know, things sort of turned over about every 18 months, and it might even be faster now. But more to the point, to answer your question, I've done lots and lots of different things. I got into the IT profession almost by accident. It was right around, you know, it was probably the early to mid 90s when I landed a job at a university and started, you know, getting hooked up around some really, really smart people who did research and things like that. And then that morphed into getting a job, an early job at like an IT consultancy at EDS, Ross Perot's old corporation. And then that moved into, you know, some other things where I was at a smaller organization where they said, hey, there's this computer on the floor. Can you make that into a web, you know, a web server? And so then I started putzing around and, you know, figuring some things out. And that, and it just kind of, you know, went from there into more and more and larger things. And you know, I had the privilege of being the IT director for a state agency, and I've been involved in some, I'm currently actually a project management practitioner. So I currently do, you know, I manage projects that are international in nature and pretty large and have significant enterprise, you know, touches the enterprise. So it's an incredibly fast moving, and it's an incredibly interesting area, especially in how it impacts, you know, the business.
Well, I mean, I said my eyes glaze over. It's just because I don't understand it, but I do realize the importance of it. So, you know, as a small business or an entrepreneur, what are the main, you know, kind of hot spots? What are the problems that you see entrepreneurs and small business owners run into when they just say, hey, you know, I can set up my web servers myself, or I can have a friend of mine help them, or I can set up my, you know, my intranet, or I can build my website and put it up on WordPress and everything will be just fine.
Yeah, invariably. Yeah. And I guess that's the thing I didn't talk about is that I, you know, as an entrepreneur and also just from a web perspective, I've been, you know, doing web server website stuff probably since the late 90s. So I've seen a lot of, you know, iterations of what happens in that space and what, you know, what tools are used. But to answer your question, invariably, you know, people focus on the tool rather than what problem they're trying to solve. I spent a lot of time in my consulting career, as well as just in, you know, working for other people, trying to move people away from the tool and more towards the solution. And so the way that I put this a lot of times is, you know, if you're gonna work on some kind of project around your house, you know, you don't go to your toolbox and pick out a drill when you don't even know if what you really need is a hammer. So what I try to do is I try to have people think a lot about, first on the front side, what is it that you want to do? And the other thing too is that I kind of have an approach of, like, from a business process perspective, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if it's a small shop or a big shop, if you're a solopreneur, if you're whatever, if you can't do the process of what you want to do with a piece of paper and a pen, you haven't gone far enough to think about what it is that you want to do. So stop right there, do that, and then start talking about the tool.
Yeah, and fair enough. And I see that for sure in the marketing side. I mean, everybody goes to a seminar, a webinar, and they hear, hey, what's the latest thing? Yep. Oh, Gary Vee says it should be Snapchat. And this guy says it should be Instagram. And they run around with looking at all these new tools without addressing, like, what are we trying to accomplish?
Yep. Because the tools will change. Invariably, the tools will change. The hot thing today will not be the hot thing tomorrow. So whether you're a marketer or an IT person or a CEO or a whatever, it's, you know, from a technology perspective, it's the focus is, you know, from my perspective, is what is going to be good for the business long term. And here's the kicker: what is sustainable, right? Because the sustainability piece of a piece of technology, especially of tools, it has a short shelf life, number one, if you don't have the people and the skill set to sustain it. Number two, if you don't have the money to sustain it. And number three, if it changes so rapidly that it is no longer viable for what your business solution is. So, I mean, that's talking about a lot of general stuff. I mean, I think it's probably more useful to your audience to talk about more specific things, you know. So are there any specific needs that you've seen from your audience that I can help with?
Well, I think most guys are just trying, or people are just trying to get their business up and running, and they don't spend any time on the IT side or security side. And I'm often disappointed because they don't spend enough time in their marketing either. But
yeah,
where do you think the big issues are? I mean, you come home, so you're going to set up a computer, you're going to be home based, install your computer, you maybe plug in a router. You turn it on with its default settings, you put up a WordPress site, leave the / login admin, and you're off and running your business.
Right. So I think that from a very, very practical standpoint, sort of the how-to list, is that the first thing I think that if I had some of your listeners sort of in my office and I was, you know, providing, you know, the wisdom of the ages sort of thing, is that I would say, you know, perceive yourself as a relationship builder and as a connector. So your job is not to delve into the depths of routers or of security or of what it is for you to be able to find or develop relationships with the providers that can provide each of the patchwork quilt of tools and technologies that you need in a way that is efficient, effective, and doesn't cost you a ton of money. So if they can position themselves and sort of perceive themselves as that, as sort of like, you know, I am the, you know, I am sort of the solution manager, and there are a bunch of these little pieces, parts that I'm going to need to put together. What are those things? And so then that will drive you typically to going, okay, I can get, you know, pretty much any internet service provider, for example, will have, you know, some sort of package deal on security, and they'll take care of that for you. So whether it's that, or whether it's your, you know, your local sort of fellow solopreneur who has a package deal because they're running their own little business and they'll come and do IT support for you if it's that or whatever it is. But just, it's kind of like outsource that piece that is, that has nothing to do with your business. You know, we, even in, even I work with very, very large enterprises, and even very large enterprises are structured in such a way as that they have a central IT group that all of the other businesses buy their IT from. And that's because you don't want businesses wasting time and money on trying to figure out their own IT. So think of it that way.
No, it totally makes sense. This is, you know, it's no different if you're launching your business. I mean, do you really want to learn HTML to build your website, or do you want to go do it? Your primary business is serve your customer for whatever product or service you're selling and let somebody else do do the heavy lifting on the other side.
Exactly. And I mean, website stuff is notorious, right? Because you can really get caught up in that because, quite frankly, especially for, I would think, for marketers, I have a background also in, I got my undergraduate degree in English, right? So writing and that kind of stuff is fun, right? And building a website and graphics and all this audio stuff and all that video, and it's fun. Well, but if you get wrapped up in that and don't focus on, you know, what your customers need, you're not going to be in business very long.
My the quote that I have sitting beside my computer is always milk the cows before building the barn or building the farm, right?
That's right. That's a great quote. That is a great
So it's like
quote.
Go out and sell some stuff, and then when you've got some new money, then hire someone to build your website, and then go out and get business cards. But in the meantime, go collect some cash.
Yeah, it's tough though. I mean, you know, I've been as an entrepreneur myself, it's hard because, you know, to a certain degree, until, you know, if you're in early stages of entrepreneurship, you know, you have to be at a stage where you're selling something. And sometimes that something isn't always completely built or completely articulated in a way that, you know, people understand. You got to work through some of that. And so I think there's a real need for balance where you work some on that back end operational stuff, but make sure you got the cow definitely before you're doing that stuff. And I mean, I've done that in reverse in my past, and it, you know, it isn't pleasant. It doesn't, you don't stay in business very long when you do that and you're just burning cash.
I've done both. And several years ago, I thought I'd try and experiment. I mean, my thinking is that if I'm spending my own money on my own marketing, that, you know, if it doesn't work, then, you know, that's fine because it's mine. I would never do that with a client.
Right.
So we set up a brand new C-Corp in Nevada and went out to a networking event and managed to close a client, and then had to not only register the domain, but set up an email so I could send an invoice, sent the invoice,
right,
and then had to go open a bank account. Now I had checks in hand with a brand new bank account, and intentionally did not build a website for that business for 2 years, or just about a year and a half,
right,
and have never bought business cards, just to say, hey, you know what? You don't have to have a business card these days. Yes, I know it's nice. It presents well, but with people's concern, even around the environment and not printing, it's quite acceptable just to exchange phone numbers and text and or email. And in that case, I didn't have a site. Now, you know, it probably wasn't a very fair test because I was already in business, so I could speak the lingo. I had some sales skills, but it was just an interesting process that people say, well, where's your website? Well, I haven't built one.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the thing, right? Is that, and I think that's a great example, and I'll kind of harp on this, I guess, is that, you know, technology is a tool, you know, it is a tool just like any other tool. And, you know, if you can build whatever you need to build, you know, without fancy schmancy technology tools, make it happen. I mean, it's, you know, it's really that simple. The purpose of websites, or at least what they have become, certainly in the marketing world, is to uniformly deliver a message that is global in reach. Fundamentally, that's what a website can do, right? In terms of its function. There aren't too many other tools on the planet that you can do that, because it really is sort of a build it and they will come kind of thing, as long as you can get the message out. You can't do that, you know, very cost effectively with, you know, print ads or radio ads or television ads or whatever it is, but it's that presence. So if technology is getting in your way from accomplishing that objective of that communication, then I think you need to rethink about the tool.
Yeah, absolutely. I find myself some days and I call it procrastinating. So I'm looking at new tools and looking at new stuff, which really has nothing to do with serving the existing customer. Looking for obviously new stuff for my clients, but you know, we can get way down that road. Like you say, hey, this is fun. I'm going to write this. I'm going to shoot that video. But at the end of the day, if it's not serving a client or generating new revenue, then it really is more of a hobby and not a business.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I've spent pretty much my entire career. The way I describe any business structure, any organization, and I've been an HR director in the past. And, you know, so I know some things about organizational leadership and things like that. But there's really, I boil it down that there's a fundamentally three parts to any organization. And I don't care if you're a one person shop or if you've got 60,000 people in your organization. Fundamentally, there's three places. There is sales, there is delivery, and there is operations. Sales makes the money, delivery delivers the stuff that the money came in for, and operations manages everything else, right? Manages the people, manages the money once it comes in and all that kind of thing. It is my conviction that any one person can do two of those functions. They cannot do three. It is a fundamentally flawed model. So if you're a solopreneur, you can handle two of those things. But if you try to stretch yourself to do all three, it will not work. If you try to do sales and be the marketing expert and deliver your stuff and do accounting, it will fail quickly. So set up a structure where ideally you have different either people or vendors or whatever that are handling those three different parts. Right. And then I, as a result of that, right, I've really spent the majority of my life in the last two, right, in delivery and operations. I've sat in the chair of the technical expert and, you know, pushed the buttons and made things work and all that kind of stuff. And then I've been on the back end where I've been, you know, either in management positions or, you know, in HR or, you know, doing the accounting in the back or whatever it is. And the thing is that there's this fundamental tension between each of those three things, and especially between sales and delivery, because sales job is to say yes, and delivery's job is to deliver on that yes and go, what the heck did you just do? And operations in cost savings mode, their job is to say no. Right. So I've never spent time as a marketer really in my professional life. But if I was a marketer, one of the things that I need to do is I need to make sure that the messaging can flow through that value chain internally of those three pieces, as well as out to the customers. Because if you're really successful at marketing stuff to potential customers and they come in, but your internal staff or the people who are delivering and the people who are, you know, helping the operations piece don't know your message, that chain will break at some point and cause you all kinds of stress. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants that at all. So anyway, that's my two pennies.
Well, what practical advice would you give, you know, small, medium-sized businesses and or solopreneurs that are trying to deal with, you know, that part of their business in terms of keeping it operational and keeping it safe?
In terms of like IT security kinds of things?
Yeah. Or? Like what do they need to be, what are the threats? I mean, I think you stated it correctly in saying that, you know, what is it you're trying to do or prevent, and figure that out before you go buy the tools. So whether it's tools or routers or antivirus or whatever might be on the market these days.
Yep.
So, you know, where does somebody get an idea of what the threats are? It seems like the people who are out there that are interested in hacking your data and getting access to your client database or access to your website so they can post, they seem to have a lot more time on their hands than those of us who are running a business trying to make it work.
Yeah, amen to that, right? Yeah, so that's a really, really good question with a really, really complex answer, but I'm going to keep this simple, right? The first step is to know what is important to you and to guard that, right? It's this, what you're doing is you're building a castle, and there are threats both external and internal. and there are legions of people and hordes of information, you know, that treat this, because this is essentially, you know, it's an entire knowledge body of knowledge. But if you're, you know, if you're a solopreneur or if you're an SMB, the first thing that you can do very practically is cover. Best way I like to describe it is this. Think of it like plumbing. Okay. Data, information, all that kind of stuff at its most fundamental level has to follow along wires. It travels along wires, whether those are fiber or copper, doesn't matter. Whether wireless, doesn't matter. And if you can monitor the flow of that water, of that information as it comes from outside your organization to inside your organization, and you recognize the points at which you don't want people to reach, or if you want them to reach, you only want them to reach it in a certain way. So let me give you an example, right? So one of the most fundamental, you know, things is that as people come in and you put up that router and you do all those kinds of things, just, you know, change stuff so that it's non-standard, right? And so that it's not an immediate way that, you know, so that a hacker can guess all that information. But as the information gets into your organization, what I would argue is more important is the thing that everybody knows that they have to do that they don't do, and that's backup. Data in three places. Fundamentally, backup your data in three places, because the data is the thing that's golden. You can reproduce everything else. You can, if you're, you know, I mean, I a couple of days ago, we had 28 inches of snow here in where I live over the weekend. And during that snowfall, there was a lightning strike, believe it or not, that took out our internet, right? And it's sort of like, holy cow, that was amazing. So, but it, you know, you call the guy, he gets it back up in 24 hours and you're fine, you know? So there's those pieces. So I would say that the biggest threat that people face is, especially SMB, is they're flying around so fast, they're doing so many different things. They've got, you know, one primary computer, maybe a couple. Their information is kind of scattered, but it's all on that one computer. And if that thing goes, their lifeblood could potentially go. So backup is probably my number one piece of advice. And then after that, as far as where are the threats? Yes, there are all kinds of external threats that are very sophisticated, and, you know, everybody, you know, a good, the quip goes that a good security speech is one where everybody comes out scared, right? Well, I mean, the thing is, funny. Well, it's true. I mean, I've been involved in, you know, cybersecurity exercises at the state level and national level, and things are, I mean, there are bad actors out there that are state sponsored and all, you know what, you don't, just the, I think a lot of people are run scared. It's not that it's not real. It's not that it's not, you know, pretty horrible about some of the things that, you know, that can happen. But I think that if you look at it in a practical sense and you think about it like plumbing, you know, yeah, you can go and out and buy a, you know, master purification system for your house, you know, that will keep everything super pure in your water. But is it worth doing that? Or is everything, you know, is something else good enough? And so if you're a small, you know, an SMB, if you're a small to medium business and, you know, you're looking at that, take a very practical look and say, what are the things that are most important to me? What happens to me if I either lose this data or have this particular functionality compromised, and then have a plan and really understand that that's an operational plan. That's something that you do as a part of your DNA. It's not like optional, but it's rather something that you revisit, you know, on probably a monthly basis.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned backup. I mean, I didn't even think of that. It's something that we've done. It's like so long ago, I totally forgot.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's just in place.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like security, right? And security is just, it's kind of like saying, oh, you do security. It's just like saying, oh, you do IT. I mean, it's very, very broad, and it's a very big thing. But in the industry, we, you know, from a backup perspective, the terms are disaster recovery and business continuity, right? So disaster recovery is, holy cow, what if there's a smoking crater? What are we going to do? And, you know, there's a continuum of that. Okay, well, what happens if we, maybe it's not a smoking crater, but maybe we lose power to the whole building, you know, those kinds of things. And then business continuity is, okay, we don't have a disaster from which we need to recover, but, you know, there is what happens if, for example, if leadership is, you know, stranded on an island for 2 weeks, who's going to start making decisions? You know, what happens if we have a situation where we don't necessarily have a smoking crater, but for some reason, this particular building and this particular place that we can't get access to it, then how are we going to, you know, how are we going to continue to, or how are we going to continue our business operations? Even if you're an SMB, there is a small portion of that you have to think about. If you're an SMB and you're only two people or five people or whatever, what happens if, you know, Jane gets sick or her kids get sick and she's out of commission for 2 weeks and she happens to be your primary marketing consultant, or she's the person who knows the admin passwords for your, you know, for your primary e-commerce site or your customers' e-commerce sites or whatever. So there are small little, you know, pieces of execution that people can do, even if you're a small organization, that sort of mimic the same functionality of the big guys, that are really, really important to do. And it's not necessarily anything that you need to take a ton of time with or that you need to worry tons about, but it's one of those kinds of things where if those things were to happen, they can have such a huge impact that it could really, you talk about threats, that it could threaten the existence of the organization. So you want to, you know, do those things.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, like you said, just jot them down, because you're not talking about a lot of stuff. I mean, the idea that hackers are going to pursue you is a lot less likely than a fire, a flood, power outage. And, you know, not happy to say we've been through those. I mean, we had a security threat, like a threat of personnel from a competitor, and we had to vacate the office. So how do you manage eight staff remotely when now the office is no longer safe to attend?
Exactly.
You have to figure that out.
Absolutely. And I would go so far, Doug, in terms of, and again, this is more of an approach and a perspective. I don't know, it may be a little, you know, shocking that I'm actually saying this, but instead of worrying too much about, you know, whether or not somebody's going to hack your stuff, assume they already have. Because if you think about it that way, like if somebody hacks your stuff, A, you're never going to know. B, they're never going to tell you. I mean, it's not like for an SMB, they're going to send you a ransom note and say, you know, send me $250,000 or I'm going to sell your stuff, right? So, and there have been enough breaches in the large, you know, public organizations that it is highly likely that personal information is all over the place. Okay. So then you're really left with the situation of, it's sort of like, okay, you know, the walls didn't come crumbling down. You know, I am not, you know, imprisoned or sent to Turkey or something like that. So what is it, if some of my data is compromised, what can I do in a proactive kind of way to make sure that the data that I present here going forward is, even if it were to be compromised, I'd be okay with it, right? I mean, I'm, from my own personal perspective, I have only recently, I mean, in the 25 years that I've been in and around the internet, I've only recently, you know, put my picture voluntarily out in public places, right? And so it's kind of like that whole thing of, you know, when you're in a big corporate world, it's sort of like, well, you know, every email you write, just pretend that be made public, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah. if people think that way, that it's sort of like, okay, look, you know, most likely some of your information has been compromised, that's not really the major threat. The major threat is that there is going to be, let me put it this way. This might be a better way. I also spent some time working with a state emergency management organization, right? So these are the people who are responsible of, like, seriously, like, what happens if the nuclear plant, you know, several miles from here melts down? You know, these are the people who sit around and think about that kind of stuff and have a plan. They actually have a plan. So, you know, in working with those guys, one of the things that we talked about when we did statewide and nationwide cyber exercises was that it would be highly unlikely that we would have a cyber emergency without having a physical emergency, right? So the higher probability is not that we're going to have a compromise of, you know, everybody's information that's going to bring down, you know, 1,500 different corporations. What's more likely is that an F4 tornado is going to come romping through, you know, a place and is going to take out, you know, either the ISP or, you know, 20 different businesses that are going to have a huge impact on a community. So, you know, from a security perspective, I think that, and from an emergency management perspective, that's how those people think, and they're, you know, they run the probabilities and they're probably right.
And I guess the other thing is that when you've got your plan in place, you really need to test it to make sure that it actually works. I remember the first time that our data guys said, hey, we should actually do a restore as if we've lost our server.
Absolutely.
And I went, yeah. Okay, why do you do that? He goes, well, how do you know it works? How do you know that if you do lose your server, that the way the system's configured, it's going to work? So they ran a test, and I thought, oh, that's pretty smart. That's why we have smart IT guys.
Yeah, and see, but here's the thing, right, is that that's one of those areas where it's sort of like you can burn a lot of time and effort. You know, if you're a business person and you're running a business, and I know this, you know, for a fact, just myself and my own business, you can burn a lot of time worrying about this stuff and trying to test that kind of stuff, and that isn't very useful. And then especially like if it fails and you got to figure out what's going on, and then it becomes your full-time job, right?
So what
you want to do is, I'll go back to what I said previously, is be very clear about identifying the things that are most important to you. Like if your, you know, mission in life is that you have created WordPress site or WordPress sites, and that these are things that bring in the dollars for you or your clients, and, you know, that is, and whether it's that or it's your other channels, you have most likely a very, very capable group of people that are hosting those environments that will know way more than you do about any of that technical stuff. So at that point, it's highly unlikely that those things will go down. Number one, if you haven't set up your stuff that way, that's how you should set it up. But number two, what you should be more concerned about is, again, back to the water metaphor, what is my pipe like to that functionality, right? So if I'm sitting here, you know, on a modem that is, you know, now 8 years old, and it kind of fizzes out every, you know, 3 weeks, and be more concerned about that than you are about, you know, whether or not the tier three data center is going to actually, you know, blow your stuff up. And I can give you a perfect example of this. Actually, we, for one of the companies that I own, we leverage a cloud provider for all of our customer. This is for the Chi Garden Salt Spa, for all of our customers, for all the customer transactions, for all of that stuff. And it had been running, you know, fine with the folks who work for us. They've got some complaints and all that kind of thing, you know, but those are just kind of normal. But they actually, this cloud provider went down for like, I mean, it was like a whole scale failure for like, I don't know, it was probably a good day, probably about 8 hours. And this was just recently. And there was really, at that point, there was kind of like nothing we could do about it, but they got the stuff up faster than we could even imagine if we had had that server or servers at our own on-premise locations and were managing it ourselves. So again, I would caution everybody out there, especially when they're reading the news and especially the latest news, like, don't believe the hype. It's really, you know, take a measured caution, you know, be concerned. Yes, the stuff is serious, but be really hyper-focused on the things that are important to you and pick out those technical functionalities that, if you lost them, really, really would cause either you pain or significant harm. And focus your efforts on doing those.
I think that's really a good, I was going to say common sense, but I don't like to use that word. I think it's really good advice. Like you said, focus on what your key drivers are and what would be catastrophic to the business and resolve those and don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's sort of like everybody knows this, right? It's not like I'm saying anything here that's rocket science. I'm really not. The trick is, have you made the commitment to perform the execution where you need to? And, you know, I would say that if, from a technical perspective, if you were asking my professional opinion, you know, for like, what should people do in that particular area, it would probably be that one thing is to take a step back, identify the most important technical capabilities or technical functions that you run or that you rely on, and ensure that you know what is going to happen if those break, right? And,
yep.
And it could be as simple, I got a guy named Jim and I'm going to call him. Great. Awesome. Check that one off the list, you know?
Yeah. Where's Jim's phone number? Hopefully not on a computer.
Exactly. That's exactly right. How many, and you know, we've joked about this for years and years and years, right? It's sort of like, people use email like a massive data repository, right? And if they lose, that was the one thing when I was doing like technical support, or I was in a situation where I was like the IT director and, you know, I managed, you know, kind of everything. You would know, like, anything else could break. I mean, there could be like fundamental major problems in your, you know, in your data center and, you know, your server room, and have all those kind of issues that people don't know about. If email broke in the organization, that is one thing that would go immediately to the top. I mean, the CEO and the president would be like on your case going, when are we going to get email back? When are we going to get email back?
Yeah, no, I've seen it. We were at a charity golf tournament and I was golfing with another guy who owns a big ad agency, and he got a call. He said, I got to go. I said, like, well, what is your family? Okay. Like, is it? No, their Exchange server was down.
Yeah. 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 No, seriously. It's like I have seen it where if the, you know, and you say Exchange, and that's exactly what happened, right? So if the Exchange server went down, people walked around with like this listless look on their face, and they didn't know what to do. and so that's the thing is know your channel, right? I mean, there are some, you know, from a cultural perspective, there are some organizations that are V-mail cultures. There are some organizations that are email cultures. There are some organizations now that are very progressive, that are more like almost a social media community kind of. I would say that those are few and far between, because there is way too much of a compliance necessity to still have email and other things. But know what your culture is and know what buttons are, you know, going to have to be pushed if those things. I feel like I'm like an insurance agent here, so, you know, because I mean, they're talking the same kinds of things. But in technical, you know, in the technical IT realm, one of the realities is that whatever it is that you are working with, it will break. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and how. And so, you know, what you will realize is that, you know, if that hasn't happened to you yet in a big way, when it does, it will be very, you will very quickly realize which things are critical, are what we call business critical, or, you know, mission critical. In the cases of, like, you know, people who are like hospitals and things like that, like if things break, people die, right? That, or in the military or something like that. Those are things that you definitely call mission critical that are at a whole different level. But what you will, you know, experience, especially from like a marketing, you know, kind of perspective, is that if an organization cannot perform sales transactions, that is business critical and are the things that, you know, you need to focus on.
Absolutely. So let's change the conversation a little bit. So you've got some new stuff going on and you're stepping into a new project. So what are you most excited about, say, over the next 6 to 12 months?
So yeah, for the next 6 to 12 months. So we went live with HealStress.com, and HealStress.com is a membership community that really uses a model of the hero's journey, or, you know, some people refer to this as the sacred journey, to help people heal stress in their lives, right? My wife has been 25 years owning a spa. I've done 25 years in IT. And so really what this project is kind of bringing those two things together. I've gone through a lot of, you know, personal change in my life. I can kind of call myself a change, you know, almost a change expert by default. been through a lot of life issues, that kind of thing. And so what I'm really excited about is the opportunity to take all the stuff that I have learned and that my wife has learned and that the resources that we know have learned because we know a lot of people and to pull all of this together to help people. And we believe that the language in our culture around this concept of stress right now is all about coping with and managing. And so it's sort of like, oh, it's going to be there and you just got to sort of deal with it. We want to sort of elevate the level of debate and elevate the level of language surrounding that and talk about how can you heal stress? How can you make that? And healing is more of something that is, you know, a part of a process in your life that kind of will, you know, never end, but that you can recognize as making this better rather than just coping it, you know, throwing it under a rug or, you know, doing whatever. And so I'm really excited that we're going to be putting together putting together the resources and the content around that and offering it to a membership.
Well, that's really cool. Good for you guys. I'm a big fan of healing. I would rather heal than medicate.
Amen.
You know, bigger fan of prevention. So, you know, if I cannot have the problem, that's even better.
Well, I know when I was going through some really difficult times in my life, and I'd go so far as to say this, you know, sort of in the darkness kind of thing, is that I started realizing that this thing that I kept calling stress wasn't really stress at all. It was, you know, in some cases it was anger, in other cases it was depression, and in other cases it might have been just sadness. And so what I started realizing is that for each of those different things, you really have to metabolize it in a different way. You have to sort of heal it in a different way. And so, and I know that there, again, there's a litany of content out there around this, and what we want to offer sort of as our unique, you know, like marketers would say, right, our unique selling proposition is that we want to take a look at this in a different way and more from an inner healing kind of fashion.
So where can people find you online? How do they connect?
Yeah, so you can connect with us at healstress.com. We've got a splash page there that is ever, you know, sort of growing in terms of what we can do there. You can find me also on either LinkedIn or Twitter. And if we could maybe throw the addresses at the podcast documentation, that'd be great. And, you know, really what we're trying to drive for here is people who, we're all stressed, right? But people who are in a place where they think maybe that stress has a disproportionate effect on their lives. Those are really the people I think who could really benefit the most, and they can get a hold of us there.
Well, I've just finished writing a health book, and the research I did showed that right now that we are more stressed, we are more overweight, we are more in debt than and more medicated than any time ever in history before.
Yeah, I would concur. There's tons of evidence out there and the, you know, the level of discourse about stress and things like that. It's pervasive, and you know, it's kind of like, I think so far it's really just sort of been treated like, oh, it's stress, you know, we have to deal with it, drink more caffeine, you know, whatever it is. And you know, you're absolutely right. And I think that there are new ways that we can bring to the world, all of us, that can move us forward and kind of evolve our humanity that way.
I think so. Totally agree. So, hey, thanks so much, Dave, for taking time. It's really cool to talk a little bit about kind of your history and your IT and how to help the small businesses and to talk about your new venture. So, you know, if you hire a good IT guy like Dave, you'll have less stress. But if you're stressed, then you can always contact Dave and he'll help you heal from your stress.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm just very grateful that I can come and share my story.
Yeah, and we connected through the online community through Upreneur.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so thanks, listeners, for tuning in. As usual, we will transcribe this interview into show notes, and we'll make sure that all the contact information and the appropriate links are there so you can reach out to Dave in whatever format that is, if you're a social media person or if you just want to ping through his website. So make sure that you're subscribed to iTunes to keep up to date with our latest episodes. And if you like this episode and others, don't be shy, don't be afraid to give us a rating on iTunes. So thanks so much, and we'll be back to you guys for our next episode.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.